Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Ace's Car Museum in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Tonight, a special Mayweather-McGregor broadcast with guests Cousin Sal and Kevin Hench. And now, undefeated in podcasting, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, man. They get on. And welcome to the show. I'm at my warehouse, my car museum, my viewing museum. I'm sitting here with Cousin Sal. Good to see you, Cousin
Sal. What's happening, Ace?
This is where we watch football every year, and now we're watching a fight. Kevin Hench is going to join us. We're going to break this off into pieces, but I thought we'd get started with Cousin Sal, Kevin Hench. I think Damashek's showing up at some point, but
right?
Unclear with him. He doesn't always answer emails. He's too good to email. So that's Kevin Hench on my right, Cousin Sal on the left, and fight's going to be starting probably about an hour and 15 minutes. So we'll give you our impressions.
And ending an hour and 16 minutes from now.
We'll give you our impressions on the fight and all that good stuff. I was thinking to myself while I was heading out today, I thought, well, what should we talk about? And then I realized I should ask, because it's easy lifting for me, but it's probably good for the audience as well. Kevin Hench and Cousin Sal, do you have a story about me? A first impression, a meeting, a Sal I met during a very uncomfortable conversation?
This is the greatest softball for Ask Kiss Rodeo I've ever
heard. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out that
bad.
Way.
It can be bad. It's fine. Just something, you know, my listeners have heard me tell the same 11 stories 2,000 times. Like,
are there 11 now?
I met, I rounded up. Well, I remember when I met Sal, I stayed at his house in Long Island. Now, I guess you picked this up from the airport.
Right.
That's where I met you. And you picked Jimmy and I up from the airport, and then you couldn't find your way from the airport back to your house. And I remember thinking, wait, this guy lives here.
Yeah.
Why can't he find his house? Because and for me, at first, I was like, well, he's in Long Island. Like, how would he know what his house is? Where his house is. But then I thought, I live in L.A.
Right.
I would know where my house was.
Yeah.
I remember it being a little bit of first of all, I remember I had the windows up tight, and I was gassing you guys out.
Right. There was a lot of farting
and
going on.
And it was
on.
Glorious for me. So then, with that, I made one bad turn, and I'm like, oh, if I make another bad wrong turn, this is an even longer ride for me. And you know.
So it was all an elaborate ruse to gas us out.
That's
at some
right.
point, we drove over like a median, and we ended up at a gas station.
Right.
And we're hooking around.
A lot of gas theme.
But I remember this like, thinking, he doesn't know how to find his house, but now I know.
Yeah, right. But I don't think, I think I met you before that. That was the first time you were in New York. But remember, probably. Didn't we go to Magic Mountain or something? I remember being in the bathroom with you, and I urinated on your feet.
At a water park.
Right.
Yeah, that was before this.
Yes, that was
so
before.
So you came out to stay with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Magic Mountain Water Park in Valencia.
Right.
And I remember you peeing on me, and I remember thinking, well, there you go. This kid's got the right stuff. He's got it.
But I didn't know you were. I didn't know what I was dealing with. You had been peed on, and even worse, many times before.
By the best.
And you shot back at me.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I was like, all right, no more.
So that was the first time, and then we showed up to New York, and then Jimmy and I stayed at your mom's house.
Right.
which was your house,
uh-huh.
I guess.
Yeah, it was my house.
At the time. I remember sleeping on a bed in a sort of a guest area covered in sand and dirty clothes. It was like a bed that was being used as a hamper.
Everybody.
And I cleared it all away, and I went to bed on this sandy bed. And the following morning, Sal's mom, like, jumped on me and started grabbing me and dousing me with affection because she thought I was Jimmy.
Right.
And it was like a sitcom move where it's like I pulled the cover from over my head. She's like, oh, who are you? And I'm like, who are you? And like, I was like,
who cares? Let's go.
That was a crazy.
I told
crazy
her to pour
moment.
More sand on your head. And I don't know. It was a weird reaction.
Later on, yeah. maybe the next night, I slept, I think, in your room on like your bed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then Cal woke me up
oh,
by
right, right,
tickling
right.
my feet.
Yes, right. My friend Harry, who's here, his mentally disturbed brother, was yes. tickling your feet. Said you had a sleeping disorder because you were in L.A. time. And you it was like it was almost quarter to eight and you weren't awake
yet. Almost quarter to eight. Yeah. I wasn't doing calisthenics in the yard. So that was that. And then we had a super uncomfortable sit down at like a Panda Express with your girlfriend and Jimmy and
yeah,
me.
In the city.
Explaining that we're going to L.A. and Sal was coming with us. And she's like, no, he's not. And we're like, yeah, he is.
He's not Nasker.
No, no, it was Melissa before the current Melissa.
It was a long-time girlfriend, and I didn't really have a dog in the fight, but I remember just sitting there, and she didn't take it well.
No.
And she was aiming a lot of vitriol at me and Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting down at the world's worst Chinese. Like, you know what I like to do?
We're going
to
change his life, not yours.
yours
do you have this
bit.
Fun, Sal, like thinking about places that Jimmy would never eat at?
Oh,
I've
that's
done
interesting.
It all. I've done all the all-you-can-eat sushi
right.
buffet, bad, you know, $16 on Ventura Boulevard.
How many times would we go to Todai? Like the three
oh,
times a week?
Yeah, and Jimmy, you're like, this great
yeah,
sushi
yeah, yeah.
and it's
right.
practically free.
Right,
like,
right.
That's a good sign.
Like, no way. But we were sitting at something that was a step down from like a Panda Express in the city, you know, when the seats yeah. are fiberglass and molded into a bench and we're just sitting there, and your girlfriend was yelling at both of us, saying we didn't know what we were doing, and Sal's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But it was like a crazy.
She
like,
got the
I
last
didn't know
laugh.
How I got inserted into that conversation. But then you came out, and
that's
rest,
it. It's worked out nicely. Unless Mayweather loses his fight, I'm going to have to sell the house and everything
else
and
run.
Go back to the old girlfriend, I think.
The rest is history, as they say. So, yeah. Hench, when did we meet officially?
Well, I remember the first time I saw you in the flesh, because you were, in my mind, you're already a legend. And I was working on an MTV show, and I walked by a conference room, and you were at some kind of love line meeting or something. But I was like, oh my God, that's him. And we didn't meet, but I was like, I remember the first time ever I saw your face.
Ah, great Roberta Flack.
But then, you know, we just played hoop together before we ever worked together. We played at the party house on the Blue Top for a while before yeah. I worked on the Man Show. So those are my first memories of you. And then I have this one. So we played basketball pretty much every weekend. Sometimes when the lights were on, we'd play during the week.
Oh, yeah.
The party house was a house in Sherman Oaks, which was on like a double lot that I bought. I lived up in the hills. I liked my house, but there was no hoop and no swimming pool, no flat land. So I bought a house with flat land, put in a basketball hoop, and that was the Blue Top. But
right.
go ahead.
So we played there a lot, and I was very familiar with the party house. And then there was a poker game there. At
oh,
that
yeah.
house.
Yes.
And I had taken roughly a 20-year break from smoking pot.
Uh-huh.
And didn't realize how much it had changed in those 20 years.
Pot, yeah.
Yeah, so, yes. you know, certain members of the team were passing around. I'm like, I smoking it like I used to.
Uh-huh.
You know, this homegrown, you better really take huge hits or you're not going to get high.
Yeah.
And then my head hit the fucking ceiling because
right.
I was so crazily stoned.
Yeah.
And then in that party house that I'd been in 50 times, I went to the bathroom and I'm walking in that house and I go, this house has the exact precise layout of the house we play basketball at.
You're
and
right.
I was
right
completely
again.
Freaked out for a while.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you're in that house. You're in that house. But that's
agree.
When I kind of realized where the hydroponic, whatever happened to pot, like
right.
where
yeah.
the people are kind of like, you know, and I'm legalized everything, but like the people who are saying that's a narcotic are more right than most people know.
Yeah, well, right. You know, now that this stuff is sticky and has purple pubes on it, they have upped their game. And this is where I came up with basically the restrictor plate for the bong. Like, what happened was is NASCAR got, yeah. like, too fast and too
we
dangerous.
We lost the intimidator.
And they just went, we got to put a restrictor plate. Like, we got to slow this down. Like, it's too intense.
Right.
I feel like the bong now needs a restrictor plate because the science is so insane. I mean, it's the same with NASCAR. It's like the technology.
Wait, give Hench the restrictor. Don't give him the restrictor plate. He
yeah,
can't
the
handle it.
The technology is such that people are going to get killed. And I agree. Like, back in the day, it was a lot of shake and seeds and stem and a lot of this, like, are
never,
you?
I was never disoriented.
No, and it's like, dude, are you high? I think I'm high. You don't seem high. I think I'm high. I don't know. You feel high? I think I'm high. That never happens anymore.
That's the bed you slept in at Maya. It wasn't sand. It was nice weed. It was my mother was welcoming you.
There was seeds. Sand in that yeah. bed. You guys must have went to the beach.
That's what
we
it
did.
Was.
Me, you, and Jimmy went to the beach.
That was it. All summer we'd go to the beach, and if that wasn't relaxing enough, we'd get home, and then we'd crash on that bed. So that's why it was cool.
But
sand.
It's also, it must have been by the washer dryer. Because
it was,
that's
yeah.
where all the dirty clothes
20 feet from the
stayed.
Washer
and once we started working together, my first really strong memory of you was you screaming at Adam De La Peña.
Oh.
Siéntate!
Siéntate! Siéntate! Shut yeah. up and sit down. Yeah.
It's yeah, different
we
time.
Made a, they made a mistake. They gave me this Hispanic assistant, a writer's assistant. I used to have to get somebody assigned to me who could type. And
right.
Adam De La Peña was that man. There's an interesting guy. Like, I tell people all the time about De La Peña. Like, we used to interview people for jobs once a year, usually. They'd come in, it'd just be me and Jimmy and Daniel sitting in our office. And I think we just ask them kind of goof questions. Mm-hmm. Like, it was two interesting things. First off, Daniel would always go, who do you think's funny? Who's funnier, Adam or Jimmy? And, of course, all the normal people would go, like, well, I mean, they're both funny. Like, I can't tell.
Goodness,
I mean, they're sitting in here. One hot chick came in there, like 23-year-old hot chick. This is the wiring of the 23-year-old hot chick. And Dan's like, who's funnier, Jimmy or Jimmy? Like, because that's what you get to do when you're a 23-year-old hot chick. You get to just call him as you see him
yeah.
or say whatever you want all the time. Like, Adam may be a celebrity, but not as big as I am. Like, everyone doesn't want to fuck him. Like, he's a celebrity, like
right.
people know who he is, but I have the ultimate celebrity. I'm 23 and everyone wants
but
to
you
fuck
got
me.
You got revenge, I think, because when we auditioned our last Juggie in our final season you were on, she couldn't remember Jimmy's name.
Jamie Campbell
for a good three quarters of the episode. I think she finally nailed
it's
it.
It's gotta be yeah. great being hot. So but so we De La Peña came in and we'd ask people, like, I don't know, just stupid stuff. We didn't care where they went to college or anything. But I always remember De La Peña because he's like, he came in a really snazzy Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, that's a, it was a little peculiar to wear a Hawaiian shirt to a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, where'd you get that Hawaiian shirt? And he's like, made it myself. And we're like, whoa.
Hired.
That's something.
You'll sit there.
Now, here's what got him hired. He said, you hire me, I'll make you one too. And we're like, all right, he's in. That and a lot of, like, how are you at softball? Where that was my main concern was, are you good at softball for the game? I want to know who to pick at the end of the year.
Like, if a college educator would scare you away, right?
Right,
you're
but
like
good,
bummed
at,
out.
Good
yeah.
at softball.
Right.
That's who I was looking. That's
yeah.
who I was looking for because I want to get my pick. That was my biggest.
A
lament.
Lot of people must have lied to you.
Yeah.
If that's the staff you put together.
Remember, was it Ken? Oh, there was Ken Diss.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was Ryder's assistant. I want to say Ken, but I can't.
Well, he was
think of his name.
Was the writer? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, he was your.
Well, no,
your
we had
oh, okay.
an assistant
yeah.
named Can Candace,
uh-huh.
and then our next one was a guy, but we
Gavin, yeah,
but we called Gavin, and
right.
then after that came Ken.
I've our always heard
assistant.
The story told as Ken.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
Ken.
Right.
Ken was
oh,
our
right. Ken
our
Radcliffe.
Assistant.
Right.
Yeah, and we
I got a huge arm.
The assistant Ken. Well, no. First, assistant Ken, we just called Kendis because it was Candace, and now it's Kendis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that bothered him. I think we'd be sued today for sure. But
oh, yeah.
The other Ken said he had a cannon for an arm.
Mm-hmm.
So then he went through the entire season without writing a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He got
He's floating on his gun of an arm.
His mom sent him cake in a big Tupperware container.
And he was drunk from the night before, hungover for his birthday.
And he would eat the cake with his hands out of the Tupperware container and keep the thing under his desk and like he gnawed away at it for a week. And then he contributed nothing and even may have creeped out a few fellow riders, mm-hmm. which is difficult to do. And then at the end of the year came the big softball game, and now it was all going to pay dividends for me because he didn't contribute at all in the writer's room, but he had a cannon for an arm, so I just picked him. Jimmy would be team captain. I'd be team captain. I just picked him first. Noodle for an arm. Couldn't get the ball. Like, bounced it from second base as a second baseman, like, but bounce it to the first. And that's the only time I'd ever really felt raped. And I've been raped legitimately a couple of times, but I just kind of shrugged it off.
Wow.
This is the only time I really felt
raped. Speaking of which, I just saw another one of these grim stories. Like, we all played high school sports, and, you know, getting duct taped to the goalpost, getting locked in your locker, a lot of rat tails on your way out of the shower.
Right.
You got to get up. You got to go sing to the cheerleaders on the bus. That was a big one for us. You know, go serenade the cheerleaders, humiliate yourself. When did this fucking rape? Ha ha! I know we do. Let's stick a broomstick in the kid's ass. Like, when did that? Who pitched it? And why didn't the co-captains go?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to go get some counseling, buddy.
Right.
Because we're not going to do that. But instead, everyone's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm on board. And 43
pool
guys
cue,
are involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, not the handle. I mean, the business. But
Chalked.
It's really hard for me because of Ray.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I hear about, like, oh, my God, what is teabagging? Oh, my God, that's what happened at sleepaway football camp. Right. I'm sort of like, eh. I'll give it a four, like the teabag or whatever is going on.
Left something intact on your body.
Even Ray, like as much as he would have liked to prolapse my anus, he still left it where it was, where God put it, behind and intact.
I feel like you're
God
challenging him, even in his 50s. It's not, smart.
You're right. But rape with a mop handle?
I know. It's like, hey, you're part of the team now, buddy.
Wow. And also, I feel like, you know, maybe I'm internalizing this, but if that guy was the long snapper, he's ruined because you can never really get in that position again.
Right,
you know what I mean? I could see him being a flanker doing the stand-up position. Like,
why are you flinching, Corolla?
But the long snapper, I just don't think he'd trust that up, man.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, Hinch, I saw you at MTV. I met you on the Blue Top playing over at the Corolla Party House over there. We used to attempt to watch movies over there every once in a while. We tried to watch Black Hawk Down.
Right.
I think we may have, but it was always like an AV problem. Like the sound didn't work. I mean, if you guys want to know, we're sitting and watching a projector right now that looks crystal clear, and it was all of $900 or whatever it is. Huh? The second fight of the night just called off. Well, it wasn't called off, but it was called in the fifth round. TKO.
It started raining.
Yeah.
It's the only time when a guy's punching you in the face and someone else intervenes on your behalf and you're pissed at the guy.
Yeah.
Like this fight, this guy was just getting his face beat in. You're like, hey, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, it is. I do like when you have to. Sometimes I think being upset.
I'm fine.
And this has gone according to plan because when I don't know either of the fighters, I just root for the guy with the least tattoos. I feel like it's a good, safe, moral bet. And I've trained Sonny, who's here, doing something with Tony Barbieri over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Hinch, do you guys have a good story? And then we'll wrap up this side of it, and we'll come back during right before the pre-fight.
Well, I just told a funny kind of ace-ish story. in line where a guy was buying a case of Tecate for tonight, wherever he's watching the fight. Mm-hmm. When we made the hammer, we wanted sponsorship for the beer in the movie,
and
we had Budweiser. Yeah, they were psyched. They were on board totally. And then it was somebody's job to read the script. And there's a scene where you drink beer to excess in the movie and become delusional, and start seeing newspaper headlines that don't exist. And right. So once Budweiser saw that someone was going to actually be drinking the product to the point of getting drunk, they said, "Yeah, we really can't be involved with this.
You know,
we can't do that." And then when we reached out to Tecate, we felt like, "Hey, by the way, the guy's going to be drinking a lot of the beer and getting drunk." And they go, "We got no problem with that."
Well, to be fair to Tecate, they were drunk when we called them.
God bless.
But it's like, it's kind of funny because Budweiser's beer, but they're kind of Germany and staunchy and everything. Tecate's like Tecate.
We know what we're doing. We know where our bread's buttered.
I want to say this to Budweiser. Was like, I could remember being when I was like 10, the best place ever was the Army Surf Plus store. Mm-hmm. And they had all the weird gas masks and Zodiac inflatable rafts and all the gear and stuff. But at the counter, when you checked out, they had like sort of the personal items.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I always looked at when I was like 10 was the, in the cardboard box, generic white vibrator. Like the ones that just sort of looked like a torpedo. Like there wasn't anything about them. Like they weren't painted up. That Ron Jeremy wasn't given a high five on the jacket or anything. It was just like twist the bottom, you know, 7 inches
not
high.
Not something you'd haze a freshman who made varsity
plastic vibrator. It was nothing. But on the box was always a chick putting it on her shoulder, like doing
Oh,
my trapezoid.
Through purpose.
Oh, you know, chicks always blowing out their traps. You know, like, we're married. Like, we have to deal with this all the time. Like, when that's like, I like to help, but I've blown out my traps again.
Honey, you got the upright rows. You're doing way
too
much weight.
Yeah, she's doing too many upright rows. Yeah. Yeah, I tell her reps, you know, not weight, but she won't listen.
She's hitting the tackling dubbing too hard.
She's hitting it too hard. And it's like, I remember being like 10 going, that's not what that thing does. Mm-hmm. And
even the woman in the picture is laughing.
Like, I want to say the same to Budweiser. Like, who are we kidding here?
Yeah.
This is what you guys do.
Right.
You sell these things.
King of beers.
To get people drunk. Yes.
Think of all the kings you know.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. I think we'll take... Well, let me give a little love to one of our sponsors here. Yeah, Vault. That's right. History, man. Stream the largest offering of classic series. Document. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Cutting-edge specials, sports, history, all the docs, and no commercials. Go to Vault at on history. And they got series like America, The Story of Us, and Modern Marvels, always my favorite. Hundreds of hours of videos exploring ancient Rome, U.S. presidents, military history. It's all there. Watch anytime, anywhere from your favorite device. Our listeners get an exclusive, extended one-month free trial. So go to historyvault.com/Adam. Try it out. And try it out for the first month for free. Get the extended free month trial. So go to historyvault.com. That is historyvault.com/Adam. Historyvault.com/Adam. Try it out for free. All right, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be counting down to the fight.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ray.
And of course, I'm Eric Stromer.
That's Eric Stromer, that's right.
Yes.
Listen to us every Sunday. What else we got?
We got nothing but information, quality content, people talking about things, people showing up and saying what they feel, how they're impassioned by the business of building and home improvement.
It's Ace on the Roof, Ace on the House, Ace, all things Ace, and we're on it.
Love it.
So you be on it.
Come check us out. It's a lot of fun. We love doing what we do.
Check out Ace on the House every Saturday with Adam and Ray, and every Sunday with Ray and Eric Stromer. Subscribe on iTunes, check out aceontheroof.com, or Podcast One and the Podcast One app. Ace on the House and Ace on the Roof, weekends on Corolla Digital.
All right, now we're back, and now we're streaming live on Facebook, and the fight's going to start, I think, in about 20 minutes, but we don't know for sure. There's been some speculation about some pay-per-views and some snafus technically, and either way, it's impossible at times, so we're going to get started. Kevin Hench over to my right, Cousin Sal to my left.
Oh, wait, they're starting.
I was just thinking. So, Sal, you've been following some of this. What's going on with the betting line right now?
It's all over the place. It really depends which billionaire ends up at which casino. But so you got it at minus 500 for Floyd, which
right.
was a great price on Thursday
Floyd.
Night, Friday morning. And then it jumped up to minus 750. And now McGregor money is piling in. I don't understand what's going on. It's as low as like minus 400 for Floyd in many casinos.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is that's insane.
I saw this when the big whales came in on Thursday for Mayweather that drove the price down originally.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the stat that the average bet on McGregor was $212 and the average bet on Mayweather was $8,000.
Yeah.
So basically, if you bet on McGregor, you're buying a scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this. They say whale. And oftentimes I see Japanese guys called whales who come in, like in casino, like when they do the movies. It's
Hideki
the whale.
Arabu.
He's the whale. He's the whale. But Japanese guys are small in stature.
Mm.
So you don't think of them as whales.
Right.
Because they're small in stature. Now,
and
I know
people have no regulations when it comes to whaling.
Over whaling. Right. That's what I want to know. That's why I have to ask this question right now. Is it the deregulated whaling industry, or is it their bank accounts?
How can we compete?
Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
I don't know the answer. Yeah, you're right. If we're the Samoans were the big big businessman betting, it would make sense to call them whales. But yeah,
right, they're some of the smallest people around, but they do the most whaling.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You draw the conclusion. I'm just bringing it up.
Napoleon complex taking it out on the whales.
It's
Vegas
true.
Has a great sense of humor.
So I was in the bathroom thinking about what we should talk about, and I thought
boxing.
You guys. Well, yeah, but I don't know what else you could say about this fight.
I would have urinated on you if I knew you were in the bathroom.
I now do it to myself. I have this horrible combination between refusing to wear underpants and not being able to get that last bit not to drop down my urethra. And it's bad. It's not a good combination. It's unsightly. So I was thinking best high school sports story. I don't think I've ever asked either one of you this one. I know you both played sports in high school, Sal, football and wrestling, Hench, basketball and baseball. And some football as well. But I thought, it doesn't have to do with you. Could be something crazy with a teammate. Could be something funny. Could be something tragic. Mm. But
bring us down.
Well,
oh man.
No, but
really want to talk about.
I played with
die.
John Cappelletti.
I had two guys. Yeah, Joey was on my team. I had two guys die in a Pinto car crash. In a crazy ending of like a crazy, a crazy game. Like, I had a bizarre, Robert Ishu and Leonard Caceres both died in a Pinto station wagon that burst into flames when they were rear-ended, and neither one of them got out of the car.
What sport is that?
And later on, it was, they call it Chinese fire drill. Later on, a guy who calls himself, it was Wendell Shirley, and at some certain point he went to Wendell Shirley.
That's a whole other story.
Know the Ray joke about that. But he vowed to take one to the house for Robert and Lenny, and he was the world's slowest punt returner. And in this standoff 6-6 last game of the year, he did take one to the house. And then
should have won the game.
We tied the game up. And then their team took it to the house on the ensuing kickoff,
nice.
Doing a fake reverse.
Because their team had three guys
die
in a
pacer. It was a Vega, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yes. So
I think it was a kick return, but a similar story. Let's just keep it to punt and kick returns.
Special teams.
Yeah, we should.
Special teams.
So I was a big wise ass back in the day.
Oh,
yeah, no, I'm going to be honest.
That was old style.
No, I'm going to be. I was. Different time. But I... So the coaches hated me so much that the first drill we did was the first team kickoff against the second team kick return. except I was the only player on the second team kick return.
Oh,
they would
really?
Kick off to just me.
Just you.
And I would get hammered. I just felt like I was in a wave.
Right.
And we would do it about 10 times. And I'd start to get sick to my stomach like seventh period. Like oh, boy, I'm going to get crushed again. And the coach thinks this is funny. And these meatheads are gunning for me. And the worst thing I did one day on an onside kick, I got around everyone and scored. And then I got hammered and hammered. Even worse after that.
Because you dared to score.
I dared. It was really dumb. Fast forward to game one against Amityville, one of our rivals. Kickoff team gets out there, kicks it off. Rob Carpenter. Maybe it was a wide receiver for the Jets.
Yeah.
For Amityville.
Wait, Rob Carpenter was a running back.
It was another one. There was a different Rob Carpenter. That was
okay.
A Giants running back.
Yeah, there's a Giants running back named Rob Carpenter.
Another one.
Right.
Returns it for a touchdown, untouched. Because these idiots didn't know what it was like to come down and block anybody.
Right.
They're just going after one person. They're like, oh, what's this wall I hit? So a little part of me was happy that that happened.
We used to do an onside kick, as a matter of fact. Leonard Ishu, the guy who passed away, one of the guys, was our kicker. And we did an onside. We had an onside kick move that people don't really use much anymore, but it worked really good, which is you just do it in the middle of the game. Like, you couldn't do it when they're expecting an onside kick.
Sean Payton.
And
fortune favors the brave.
He'd just drill it at the close guy, and it'd always bounce off his chest or his knee or whatever. And there's a slight delay, so says Gary, for the pay-per-view. And it worked. I got the recovery once.
That's
just creamed right off the guy.
That's the people papillomavirus? What's the issue?
Yeah.
The
pay-per-view. No, pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Our friend Stephen Green, who ended up kicking for the Arena League.
Professional football player.
Yes.
Right.
He did that. He was an expert at that. He would drill it. He won, like, Player of the Week because he was the quarterback and the kicker. And they were down like 28. He threw for a touchdown, onside kicked, recovered his own, threw for a touchdown. Like it was crazy. Like in Brooklyn, he became Player of the Week from that.
What team was he with when he did that?
That was a high school game. But
that was a high school game, wasn't it?
But you saw some of the footage, right, of him in Arena 2?
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was really, really stupid.
Tackling guys into the boards.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him. It's funny when you think of Sal's sense of humor that he had a coach who thought it was funny to be really mean to Sal. Where'd Sal come up with these bits at the ATM?
He used to say, real quick, there are the six P's you have to pay attention to, and that's prior planning prevents piss-poor performances. And I raised my hand. I'm like, you could cut that down to five. You don't need prior planning.
Planning means prior.
That was the start of the kickoff. Yeah.
Planning after the fact.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Pointless.
It's like pre-planning doesn't mean anything. Planning denotes
so always
doing something in advance.
Correct your coach if he's an idiot.
That's right.
I just told this story the other day. It's fresh. So going into my final game, my senior year of high school basketball, I had checked because I knew I was close with the athletic director and the historian, and I needed to go 4-for-4 from the line to set the school record for free throw percentage.
Which was what?
89.8%. I basically needed to shoot 90% from the line to break the school record.
Mm.
We're playing our arch rival. You end the season against our big rival, Lebanon High School. They're going to the playoffs, of course, as they always did. We're not going to the playoffs. There's very little at stake for us. We're the rare rivals where even the rivalry game wasn't close. Like we know they're going to the playoffs and we're not, but this game's always close. No, they're going to kick our ass.
Right.
They're going to beat us. And so I didn't – you guys have both played with me. Like, I'm a perimeter player. I don't really drive to the basket, so it's very hard for me to get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody basically has to fall down into me for me to get fouled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm 2-for-2 from the line. We're down 20 most of the game, 25, 17. And then – with like a minute left, I'm 2-for-2. I get fouled.
Mm-hmm.
We're down 18.
Shooting.
I'm going to the line for two.
Right.
And I need to make them both to break the school record. I'm the only person in the gym who knows, who cares, who knows.
Even the historian.
I'm like nobody knows what's going on.
I like that you had a historian.
I bury them both.
Nice.
I want to high five Jason Appleton. I want. I'm like. I literally want to run around the court. Like I can't. I just have to. I have to. It's all internal.
Right.
I have to celebrate by myself. There was one.
Because you're
thing
way down. Yeah. You made a free throw.
We're
going to
lose. Yeah. We're not going to make the playoffs. No one
knows.
I can't even smile.
The only thing you have to do is not get fouled again.
Yeah. No. For sure. Yeah. Right. Like. Yeah. Not that anyone's trying to foul you.
Don't pass.
They're running the clock. Yeah. It's like, why won't he? He won't even go to the basket. What? No. So going 4-for-4 in that game, and then I got a plaque at the banquet for that record. But that was such a funny moment to be at the free throw line, sweating bullets. Like I'm kind of shitting. I'm
and nobody else.
Nobody in the gym knows what's going on, and I'm like. I got to make these two.
Can I jump in here? We're watching a PSA, essentially, during a boxing pay-per-view, and all I know is it's the words of Nelson Mandela, and I'm not happy about this. Like, I don't want to get preached at. I just don't want to get preached at. Like, this, I paid for this fight to not be preached at about hate and racism and white supremacists, and I just got preached at during a pay-per-view fight. Like, listen, this is the ultimate.
Well, so you go to the movies, you get a commercial. Like,
yeah,
you
but
pay
you
for
pay. Yeah, I get that, but you pay $11, not $100, and you also see previews of movies you may want to see. This was from the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're preaching about inclusion and hate and all.
Hey, change the channel, man. If it's making you uncomfortable.
I'm just saying,
Mandela. He would have loved both these guys, McGregor and Mayweather.
Yeah, he dreamed of a future where a black guy was trying to kill a white guy with his fist.
No, where a white guy had no chance whatsoever.
Yeah, that actually was the future where he was a 5-to-1 dog going into the fight.
I don't know if anyone else would be up for this, but Adam would pay, I don't know how much, many thousands you'd pay to customize your commercials for a football Sunday or for a fight like this. Or
they just be that Wendy's girl on a loop. Just,
right. You pick it out. Like they give you a menu, like the Cheesecake Factory menu, and you pick your spots. What do you want to hear from?
I'm still, for me, it would be nothing but the general auto insurance commercials with Shaquille O'Neal. Talking to the worst piece of computer-generated animation ever. There's that one in the Rock Auto Store one where it's like I can't believe it's 2017 and we're still doing like claymation in commercials like Clutch Cargo. I tell a lot of football stories, but I had a great baseball story, and I now realize I share the same. Sonny shares the same thing with me.
Demi Lovato, Sorry Not Sorry, to be singing the
national
anthem.
Oh, she's about to sing the national anthem.
There was a prop, will she show cleavage in this? They obviously had the over-under, minute 54 for the length, and will she show cleavage, which is an actual thing you could bet on.
Yeah. It's
stuff that you can – a lot of late money comes down on yes.
Yeah.
And then she does.
Yeah.
And they trace it. Back to her boyfriend, like it's stuff like that.
Her wardrobe assistant.
Yeah, honey.
It's really warm out there.
It's easy money.
It's hot under those lights.
It's Vegas.
Oh, well, who is that? Demi Lovato in the white?
If either one of those are Demi,
we're looking. And and then who decides? Like, is it a scene out of The Aviator?
Yeah, yeah.
Where we're just telling you what Jane Russell's like. We're showing pictures with a professor pointing at Jane Russell's titties.
The funny thing about cleavage, right, is that. Cleavage is space.
Right. That's space.
But right. Really, absence of space is what we're looking for.
We're looking for ass crack. That's the absence of space.
Frontal,
like, that's the two cheeks shoved together. But we're not looking for, we're not looking for open spaces. Is this Chrissy Hynde's daughter from The Pretenders? Like, who's singing now?
Imelda May?
550. The final odds is Mayweather minus 550.
There you go.
So we got minus 450?
500.
Or 500.
Yeah.
So that's good?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're already
McGregor
a winner.
McGregor plus.
Doesn't matter what happens.
Plus 350. Well, wait a minute. What is she singing?
Ireland Colors.
Oh, she's singing the Ireland song. Oh, really? When do we let them have a song?
I don't know.
We shouldn't do that. We have our song. Who gave them a song?
You're karmically hurting your bet right now.
You're
you
right.
You could lose
right.
because of that joke.
You're right.
Nelson Mandela She's, back on.
You said if you guys want to see Chrissy Hynde, like circa 1981, that is this individual
yeah.
who came up there with cleavage on a B cup. I think Connor's got to be freaked out at this particular point.
Yeah. He's got to be thinking, $30 million, $30 million, $30 million. He's not going to take a beating, right?
I mean, no. right.
Floyd is not the kind of guy that puts you in the hospital.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's $30
million. And Floyd is thinking $30 million plus $30 million. No, plus $30
million.
plus, right. right. Whatever I bet on myself. This is Demi Lovato.
There is cleavage for sure. Because she was
Della May.
Well, that was Della May was the Irish run, right?
She had
that's cleavage, right?
She definitely cleavage Demi's on the proposition.
Cleavage, yeah.
yeah.
Oh,
you know
my move. You know my move. If I ever do this, I have to sing in front of this many people.
What is it?
I put the earpiece in with the clear tube going to it that looks like the monitor earpiece,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not hooked up to anything. And at some point, I go for it twice.
Like, what?
Because now I'm covered. I'm just getting feedback.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. who amongst us can go, absolutely not. You are not getting any feedback. Right. I'm a sonictologist.
That's good.
I watch very closely.
He usually has perfect pitch.
Yeah, you're covered. You don't hit a note. You don't do anything. You go out there with the earpiece, and you tap on it, like mm-hmm. in the middle.
Yeah.
You go Carol Burnett, saying hi to your grandma in the middle of the thing. And, all right, my prediction is Floyd is going to be completely fluid and completely loose and completely like another day at the office
yeah.
during this thing. And
going out on a limb, he's going to be like he's been in every fight in his career.
I'm going way out.
What round? When's it
the haters are going to hate, but I say good head movement, counterpunching, footwork.
Eighth round.
Oh.
I don't see. Now, we have to think about if this is easy lifting for Floyd. And it should be easy lifting for Floyd. If he can make this into a decent fight,
mm-hmm.
then there's another $100 million in 7 months waiting for him for another easy lifting, right?
But how are they going to disguise it? Connor's yeah, gone 25 minutes once in his career. He's got five-minute rounds. So that's eight rounds in. If Floyd doesn't even pressure him, he's going to be exhausted. Like, that's I don't know how he... You know, did you see Floyd on Jimmy, my cousin Jimmy's
yes.
show? So he said, anything we lose, he's paying.
Wow.
He's going to step up and pay back anything. He's like, you bet whatever you want on me. If you lose, I'll pay you back. I don't know if that's binding.
You have his email?
We have a guy, Nate. It's a yeah. little trouble thing, child support. But, I think he's locked into this.
I think I saw Ray Lewis out there somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. It's weird that it's here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Finally,
always
yeah.
it's always weird. You know what's also kind of interesting? The ring girls sort of reflect the nation that the fight is in.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you see the Corona girls in Mexico, their butts are like a little rounder and they got a little more wobble to them. Like there's a little more local,
right.
Here's the way we like it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just kind of infuse that into the ass area of our ring girls.
It's a good way to get your bearings. What country are we in?
And it's also funny,
Look at
too.
The ring girl's ass.
I think I could figure it out. Yeah, it's also funny when when you watch UFC, they go, oh, there's the lovely Miss Jenny walking off. It'd be funny if you were the ring announcer guy who did the lovely, the beautiful, the amazing. And then every once in a while, you just kind of went, eh. You know, just to give her eating disorder, like, there's Shelly. She'll do.
Well, let me, as we get down, as we're getting
not
close
for a championship fight. Yeah.
To it. Is there, I mean, I was just thinking about this particular matchup. Is there anything extra legal, but not technically illegal? You know, is there a gray area where McGregor could employ some of the tactics that he's schooled in to his advantage? You know, is there anything he can impose on Floyd?
The thing I kind of thought about is everyone's like, kick, 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 but he's not going to throw kick, and he's not going to, you know, he's not going to drag him to the ground.
Elbow? I mean, like,
I was thinking of an elbow.
They say he comes at you from different angles, but they said that about Pacquiao, too. He still has to hit him with the gloves, right?
And they were talking more emotional angles with Pacquiao.
Yeah. But, like, speaking of Pacquiao, you know, that crazy decision in his last fight, you know, He was getting elbowed and headbutt. Like, it was like it was a sloppy fight.
He was coming
fight,
at him. Right,
and
right.
the guy was coming at him, but it was also like...
Maybe that's the plan.
When like, you look kind of weird, when you look damaged by, even if it's by a headbutt, right. at a certain point the judge forgets that blood all over his face is from the headbutt 3 rounds ago.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, obviously McGregor can't really outpoint him, so that's not a concern.
I think this is McGregor, and I thought about it. I think this is his best chance to win this fight is if Mayweather hits him after the bell. I was like, that would suck, but I would accept that as why he lost. That's the only reason I say, like, that's how.
It's so funny. Yeah. Like, just as you look at him physically right now, I feel like watching all the press and all the press conferences, I think right now he looks nervous.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
He
no,
looks
he,
like a different
He looked nervous.
Guy.
He in his pre-interview back in his backstage. He seemed
he's
nervous.
Fully
he seemed
accepted
subdued.
What yeah. is happening.
Yes. Yes, he looked
It's still
he
a great
nervous.
Grift.
Yes, it's great. The great so, grift.
Tyson won 90% of his fights. Like, just beat him in the stare down in the middle of the ring.
Let yeah. me say this about Pacquiao. He may be getting older in terms of years, but he still can't fully grow a mustache. Like, not a full man, not like a Tom Selleck type mustache. And for that, I say he can
oh, yeah.
fight on.
Floyd right. might be sending someone else into the ring.
Floyd,
oh, yeah.
not
who is that?
Anticipate the ski mask.
Floyd's got, he's got the, he's got this ski mask of the executioner, Bernard Hopkins. He's kind of going Bernard Hopkins.
Now, just because he's stealing money?
If there are a lot of kids listening, or any kids listening, as much as you like Floyd in this fight and as big as, you know, we're on the cusp of Halloween, do not dress this way. You will be hit by a car when you're crossing the street. You're practically invisible to motorists.
Yeah.
And again, we don't have a ton of kids listening, but Halloween's right around the corner. This is a huge event. Many kids are going to be inspired by this walk to the ring. It's going to be very easy to put on a ski mask and a black
Mom,
sweatsuit
Dad,
and hit the streets.
I want to go as Mayweather's walking.
Sweetie, no. You're going as a
no.
pumpkin with reflective tape. Just like you did the last 9 years.
17.
Yes, you're going as a Kevlar pumpkin, which like, offers a certain amount of protection.
I feel like we've been in this position so many times in our lives where it's like, whatever happens, the fans will be disappointed.
Right, exactly.
Like,
we have
I was
never,
trying to figure out how they hate
it's
both.
Never good.
And it's our fault.
Yeah.
It's our fault,
good.
Right? This
Why?
Is like...
It's never Hagler Hearns.
This is
it's never no. Hagler Hearns.
When I was 16, I'd find out that some bad theater in Hollywood was playing Vampire Succubuses, and we had to go watch it. And the movie poster was hot chicks with boobs spilling out, sucking on guys' necks, and like this is going to prove to be an awesome, awesome flick with tons of titties and tons of nudity and tons of action. And then we'd go make the pilgrimage over into Hollywood and buy our $7 tickets and find a place to park and everything. And it's some bad, dubbed in, you know, foreign B, whatever, horribly shot with a side B cup or something somewhere about minute, you know, 91. And it always sucked. And that's what this is, right?
Yeah.
But we can't. But then the next weekend would come around, and it'd be like, oh, sorority Debs in prison. And like, we're in.
I'm in again.
We're in. I've seen the poster. This is going to be good this time. It never was, right?
Right.
So that's what's going to happen here. Right?
I think so. I say this is 2 rounds long, and anything after 2 rounds is TV fiction of Game of Thrones proportions.
But
I think it's going to be closer to Vampire Succubuses.
Yeah. I think Succubus. Yeah, Succubus. No, Succubus. Succubus, right? Gary, look up Succubus.
So I'm very familiar with the Succubus. It took all my strength to not make marriage jokes during that riff.
Was it they female vampires? And then isn't it a little redundant, like prepare for
They lie down with you and steal your power. That's
Succubus, is that what they... Yeah, but what is...
The mythological character of the Succubus...
She has sexual
and you
intercourse.
You wake up feeling a little groggy, but you still have to go to work to fucking make a living.
Happy birthday.
All right. I will tell you. All right. So now both fighters in the ring. Robert Byrd Remember, his son was a heavyweight.
Chris Bird?
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah,
oh, really?
That's him. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was like a super light, yeah. You know, before the
like
big
Bird.
Heavyweights came around, but lots of movement in a weird kind of heavyweight era in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going off. Oh, until after the fight? All right, well, hold on a second. I want to tell you guys about LifeLock. Ah, your phone. Well, how about your phone, man? You need to protect yourself. Malware called the Sonic Spy has been found in thousands of apps. You can record your calls, hijack your phone's camera. You don't need that, man. You need LifeLock. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not be able to detect if you're just monitoring your credit. So thieves could sell your information on the dark web. Get an online payday loan in your name. You don't want that to happen. You go with LifeLock, man. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, and if there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. I have it. Lynette has it. The kids have it. I think even Philly Cheesesteak has it. It's the best. It's the industry standard. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses. LifeLock can uncover threats you might miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Save 10% now with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com.
All right, we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna watch the fight and we'll come back. Thanks, Facebook. And we'll come back and we will pick it up with our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Right after we're done viewing the fight.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcast1.com.
All right, fight's over. I had a whole bunch of money on Floyd that Mike August talked me into, so I was excited that he won.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Give him his slice.
So let's go over our thoughts on the fight. First thought, they have to put a clock in the floor of the ring. You see these guys looking up, like they do in MMA, and they do it in boxing. Like, he's looking up, he's gassed, he's looking for the clock, he wants to know how much time's up. You see it all the time.
Look at these scores, though, guys, just real quick.
Wow.
So they did not
those early
give
rounds
the
didn't
three
go
rounds. To,
no.
We thought he was down 3-0.
89-81, 89-82, 87-83.
How did they not give the first three rounds to Conor McGregor? Either way.
So best case scenario was 6-7-2 before that? 7-3? What was that? Oh, someone was 10-8, right.
That was a lot closer than that.
Yeah. I think you're right, Adam, but I'll do you one better. Put the clock on each opponent's forehead.
Or fist.
Yeah, right.
That's
there.
Right.
Yeah, you got it right there.
Connor came in oversized, which is good. He used that size.
Made a difference.
Floyd did the thing where he's just feeling him out for three rounds, even though he may have won some of those rounds.
He did it three times. He felt him out for three rounds.
He was just feeling him out. Connor, impressive about Connor McGregor, a better head movement than we thought.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely. And that head movement allowed for counter punches that I never, ever thought I would see
right.
from Floyd.
Good.
Better at every
yes.
component of boxing
right.
than you thought.
And I think
right.
Floyd was worse in good almost jab. Every arena we've seen area. And yet, it was a convincing knockout. It's weird.
But also, taking 2 years off, and 2 years off when you're, you know, Muhammad Ali and it's age 28 to 30 or whatever Muhammad took off. Or 27 to 29 or whatever Muhammad took off. The 2 years between 38 and 40 are much bigger 2 years to take off. Like, you start getting old at 40.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2 years off, I think...
I'm sure he sparred with his old lady a little bit in
yeah,
that
but,
time.
Yeah, but look, I don't want to... To be fair to him, she was eyeballing him.
Okay, like, all right.
I mean, she was asleep.
She should have been looking at the clock.
There's a way to eyeball somebody when you're asleep. I don't want to. You know what? We shouldn't even gone down this road. The point is, he sort
terrible
of, and also he did something interesting, which I wish he would have told me about before I betted on him, which is he was making up for Pacquiao by walking straight ahead and going sort of the Mexican fighter. posture versus doing what he does, which is make fights super boring because he outskills everybody. But it's interesting how fights work, which is like we know they're 12 rounds. We know Floyd is 49-0, and we're all sitting here at the end of the third round going, oh, my God, he's going to lose this fight.
Right.
But we still know he knows more than anybody.
The wise guys weren't
right.
doing that according to Sal's phone.
Right.
Yeah. As he went to minus 800 while he was allegedly losing rounds.
Through the sixth round, which most of those, I guess they had it 4-2, the judges for after the six. But, yeah, what was he, like minus 800?
That
was,
right.
He was a bigger favorite after six rounds. Everyone was scratching their head.
So basically the wise guys were like, if he doesn't get knocked out by some freak flash punch, he's definitely going to win the fight, right. Which is, of course, what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. I feel like Conor McGregor acquitted himself, obviously, very well as a boxer.
He's happy.
And much better if you distill it down to boxing versus MMA than Floyd would have if he had to prepare for the octagon
this is
in
no
a few
way.
Months.
It's a winning night for MMA, I think.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And it's kind of a nice, quiet little victory for Conor because he was happy after the fight because A, got paid, and B, he didn't need to win a fight. He's not, you know, he doesn't have a boxing record. He's not going to move ahead and be a professional
but
boxer.
But $30 million, I mean, what if you got kids that got to go to college?
Yeah,
he
that's
just
true.
Needed,
college in Ireland?
He needed his stock not to drop. Like, so what he was doing with this fight is, I'm going to make $30 million, but if I'm embarrassed, my stock drops.
Right.
And our MMA stock drops. And MMA's, and there may never be another opportunity for MMA to show their colors this way. So,
well, it's funny because you guys had no problem with the stoppage because you bet on Mayweather, and I had no problem with the stoppage because he hadn't thrown a punch in 90 seconds. But he said exactly what you said, Ace, in the post-match interview, which is, make me go down on the canvas.
Yeah, and I agree. A fight of this magnitude, and especially because it's kind of a novelty fight, like we want to see someone literally hit the canvas.
Right.
And if he's 3 seconds away from hitting the canvas, then let him hit the canvas.
I don't know. They're showing it again here. It's just
but he
nothing.
Wasn't. He
he's
was
rope and opening with his face. That's a strategy.
He was completely gassed, but he wasn't getting hit a ton at the. It's not like.
Right, but it's about not throwing back, right?
No,
isn't that
I
the big thing?
Well,
it's,
like,
it's not defending yourself.
It's not defending yourself and or being overly, you know, punched. So,
even if he would have shook his head, no, I think the ref would have.
Most of the stoppages, you see the guy's just getting unloaded on, and he's been hit 11 times and he's not answered.
Right.
This time he was just kind of hunched over and gassed. He'd been hit earlier, and now he's gassed, and he's just sort of sitting there. But look,
well,
either way,
this.
It's perfect for him. He gets to save face. He doesn't have to go down.
Job.
He
did
well.
Hold his head high.
And the great thing is Floyd Mayweather, at age 40, with a 2-year layoff, is probably 63% of Floyd Mayweather when he fought Ricky Hatton. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
where'd you get that number? I mean,
it
has to be right.
Ricky
I asked Lynette. The thing that's crazy about that song is it's a winter holiday, winter wonderland.
It's
crazy. Sal and I were at that fight, and they sing the Ricky Hatton song, but it's the Christmas song. Walking in Ricky Hatton. It's like it's a weird theme to pick for your super white guy. We don't celebrate Christmas, right? All right. Anyway.
Well, let me ask you this.
So, wait. Hold on.
Come on.
Let me ask you this.
Floyd.
I'm begging you.
Floyd was 63% of what he was at Ricky Hatton.
Mathematically proven.
Yeah.
Yes.
We accept that ratio.
Well, he's less than 3/4 than he was when he was 32 and fighting with regularity.
But he's 114% of what he was against Pacquiao.
Yeah.
But he looks good. There's no gray in the beard. He looks fit. He looks whatever.
It doesn't crack.
So the beard's – oh, yeah. So it's great for Conor because it looks like he's fighting a freshly minted Floyd. But he's really fighting a been-off-for-2-years 40-year-old Floyd. And so he did pretty good. I don't think he would have done that in the Ricky Hatton, 32-year-old Floyd age. But sorry, go ahead.
Well, this is my question because he's 15-0. He's taken on all comers. He's beaten them all. And I don't think of Floyd Mayweather when I think of the greatest boxers of all time.
Right, because of the fashion that he's done it in.
Is that why? Style?
I think that's it. And also, Floyd's weird because Floyd likes to drive around in Rolls Royces with $100 bills duct taped to the hood until they fly off while strippers follow behind it. And, like, just throw money and light cigars with stacks of $100 bills and stuff. And then when Jim Gray's interviewing him at the end, they're like, 50-0, how's that feel?
Mm.
I want to thank the fans. But 50-0, that's historic, right?
Right.
It's just one more win, Jim. But you're setting the record for wins, or you tie Rocky Marciano, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well,
it's just another win. Like, why do you turn into Mr. Humble now? You came here in a gold lame Bentley. Why do you turn humble at 50-0? Like, I don't drive a gold lame Bentley, but if I won 50 fights in a row and I've never lost, I would right. start bragging at that particular
moment.
Hold
on, let me check the showroom. There's got to be a gold lame Bentley in there. There has to be.
Well, Ace, let me ask you, because you're a boxer. You know boxing. Like, so it's like Sugar Ray Leonard lost. Like, I mean, but like I feel like I've growing up, and maybe it's just that people I watched when I was younger, but like this guy doesn't strike me as better than Sugar Ray Leonard.
Right. I think he's smarter. I think he takes care of it's business smarter. Like nobody else. He right. sets up fights. He fought a young Canelo Alvarez. He fights right. an MMA
So he
guy.
Fought Canelo. He, yeah. not, right. he wouldn't fight Canelo years. Now. He right. fought Canelo when Canelo was exactly. like a little bit too young. It's a business. Don't kid yourself. But yeah, no, it's true, and it's also the era. Like, you know,
you can only fight who they put in front of you.
Yeah, well, I get it. But
did Rocky Marciano fight like a hockey goon, like a hockey enforcer for his last win? Like, where does this count? This has to count, I guess, because Connor put up a nice performance. But
all right, well, real quick,
he fought a flapper.
Ace is holding up the index card. So who's right. your who in you two guys? Who's your favorite boxer of all time?
Ike Abeyabuchi.
You're getting like some nods over there.
He's a heavyweight.
Okay. Brother Brian. Oh, right?
He's a heavyweight. I think he had, Gary, what did he have embroidered
is he six,
on his
is
trunks?
Is he a tall guy, 6'7"?
No, he's not that tall.
Not that
he's
guy.
Just
okay.
kind of a scary guy.
Ikebubich.
God, what was on his trunk? God first. He's in jail now because he abducted his godson and then threatened to kill him. Like all in right. a hotel room.
So that's why he's your favorite.
Abducted the godson or goddaughter and then ran them into like a pole.
Ran them into a pole.
All right.
But he had
you have your criteria.
Yeah.
And then he kidnapped two different escorts.
Oh, this is the best. The best. Okay. The best. Because I like this move. He had an escort come up to his room.
I thought you were going to say Sugar Ray Robinson.
He had an escort come up to his room and then stiffed her and then punched her when she started complaining. But God first was
you
embroidered.
Her and then you pay her.
Right. God first was embroidered on his trunk. Sal, do you see what happened to his criminal history?
He had a lot going on there.
Okay.
2 to 10 years for battery with intent to commit a crime.
All right.
3 to 20.
But he was a deeply religious soul.
He was conflicted.
He was an unbeaten prospect.
It's
like
a
he was
journey.
A heavy handed heavyweight.
It's a journey.
All this went down at the Treasure Island Hotel, which they should have had 6 years for that. Who's staying at the Treasure Island Hotel? That should be a crime.
Say, well, then OJ would get an extra 12 years for true. Being.
Probably a boss. Thing, but I would say I just loved Hagler. I just love Hagler's fights.
I thought you were going to say Mickey Ward.
Hagler's
well, yeah,
the best.
But like, you know, but
no,
it's
Hagler's
like
the best.
Super exciting fights.
His knockouts.
Never
but wouldn't you rather have seen like 7 more fights at him? That must have got.
Of course.
He walks away like that. It's crazy.
Sal, who do you think's your favorite boxer of all time?
Oh, man.
I mean, I know
so
you're
I used Ikebeyabuchi, so you got to pick
because,
someone else.
This guy just made you so much money.
Yeah. Pull up. I don't want to say. I don't know if he has a criminal past, but Tyson's my. He's
the
most ferocious. He's everything. He's everything you want in a boxer.
Yeah,
he scared the shit out of.
Don't go too deep into the weeds, right. But a guy you might have heard of, Mike Tyson. Yeah.
I'll say this
whatever,
about Mike.
My favorite.
It was thrilling. It was thrilling.
Yeah. Mike,
which is also what was so thrilling about the first Holyfield fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Douglas was. Right. No one was really awake.
Right.
But like the Holyfield fight, everyone was watching.
Can I say
Hence,
this?
Let me ask you a favorite quarterback. Are you going to say Tom Brady?
Quarterback of all time?
I should jump
on
that.
He's getting close to Steve Grogan. He's approaching Grogan. Right
deep
now.
In the weeds there.
Can I say this about Tyson? He's a bonderizing figure, and a lot of people say galvanizing, but bonderizing is really a better form of rust inhibiting than galvanizing. So I like to say, maybe it's inside. Maybe it's too inside, but he's a bonderize.
I can't believe he hasn't used that word.
I had a great conversation with him at his house.
Is that a Bob Bondurant?
No, bonderizing is a process of staving off corrosion better than galvanizing. So like metal would be bonderized.
That's a lot to fit on the trunks. I said God first is easier to
say. This great conversation with Mike at his house. It's got to be tough to be Mike Tyson because everyone that comes into his house goes, it's not really that nice. Yeah. Like, it's kind of weird, even though it's nice, but it's still like not as nice as it should be.
No tigers.
I think your house is spectacular, Mike, if you're listening. Take it up with Adam. I'm not jumping on this train.
I interviewed him and
God
I was like,
first, Mike. Sex workers. Second.
I said, Mike, when I interviewed you a year ago, you're shuffling around, you're overweight, you seem depressed. Well, now you're light on your feet, you're moving around, you got a skip in your step. What's going on? And he said, I'm off drugs, I'm exercising. And I said, oh, you're off drugs? And he's like, yeah, I'm off drugs. And I said, so no booze? And he's like, no booze. I'm like, no pills? No pills. No Coke? No Coke. No pot? Whoa. It was like a comedy. It was like a comedy scene. It was like, slow your roll. All right. Let me tell you guys about True Car. Ah, True Car. Shopping for a new car, new or used. You got to go with True Car. I think, let's see, our own Chris Loxamana went with True Car. Got himself a used Prius. I think 200 miles on it. Real pricing on actual inventory. From actual True Car certified dealers nationwide, they've sold over 3 million cars, and they've done it by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you want to go new, you want to go used, and I think that's about your choices when it comes to cars that are new to you. New or used, True Car, their users save an average of $3,000 off of MSRP, so when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar.com. Find out what people are paying for the exact same car, apples to apples, man, in your neighborhood. Some features not available in all states, but let's go. Let's go with True Car. All right. I want to thank Kevin Hench. Hench, you want to toss out like your Twitter feed or something?
It's at Kevin Hench.
Wow.
That's
how
can't
the
believe
fuck?
Nobody bought that up.
I know.
Tried to
sell
it, back to you. All right, and Cousin Sal, where do we hear you?
Against All Odds podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, usually on Wednesdays, and this is great. Thanks. Let's do this again for Pacquiao Lesnar.
All right, me, not Taco Bell material, doing a one-man show Saturday, September 23rd, Chicago, Park West, and then heading off to Minneapolis, October 13th, Music Hall, and then the 14th, Nashville. Yeah, that's right. Ed, where are you? Polk Theater in Nashville. How's the Polk Theater? Is it a good theater?
1,000 seats.
All right, so how many?
250.
We got to step that up, Nashville. Let's go. We got to sell this place out. All right, go to AdamCarolla.com if you want to find out anything. We're doing live shows all over the place and all that. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Kevin Hench and Cousin Sal saying mahalo.
Follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. For tickets to the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and the Carolla Cruise this November, visit AdamCarolla.com.